congregation to brethren, we've come to worship. And Jesus said, how can they go into battle when one's playing one tune and somebody's playing another on a trumpet? And that's just an example of exactly what happens. But those two songs are so similar. But yet we were trying to keep up with the music. We were trying to change How Firm a Foundation. And I'll tell you. But sometimes you get fooled like that. And I'm glad I'm not the music director, because I can't carry a tune in a bucket. So I always envy people who can sing and play instruments, and I can't do either one. And I always wonder, God, why not me? But of course, God had his own reasons for that. So I just trust him. And we're glad to see you this morning. If you have your Bibles, I know you do. 2 Samuel today, chapter 23. We're going to take just a couple of verses and kind of let the Lord kind of speak to our hearts this morning to give us what he would have us to learn this morning. I tell you, it's always good to go to the well of God's Word to drink of the refreshing that's there. We're talking about the bitter waters this morning in Sunday school. And certainly, I'm glad that the waters of God are a lot sweeter than the waters of this world. And so we're going to continue on that theme of water. And we're going to look at the well of Bethlehem this morning. Now, this is a very familiar story for those who take time to learn of the life of King David. And he's at a place in time in his life where he's kind of like you and me. We've gone through the wars, we've gone through the battles, and we're at a place where things just don't seem to be going exactly right. It may be something simple, it may be something complex, but all of us go through those periods of life where you just kind of think back to a better time. You know, God gave us memory for a reason and a purpose. And I see it very evident when I go to the nursing homes that we come in contact with people who have advanced stages of Alzheimer. And it's amazing how they can live today, but yet in their mind they can live 40 years ago. And a lot of times in Alzheimer's patients, they can remember 40 years ago, can't remember 40 minutes ago. I don't have Alzheimer's right now, but I can relate. I can't remember things I saw 40 minutes ago, but somebody asked me, what'd you preach on yesterday? I don't know. I've forgotten. It was out of the Bible. It was good. And then I have to kind of think. It's like watching TV, and you watch one of these old TV programs, and you're trying to place the face with a name. Oh, that fellow, I remember him from years ago. He used to play crooks. What's his name? And me and Wanda, we'll just sit there and, my, we're old. Can't remember their names. I have to go on the internet and look them up. I can't go to bed without finding out who they were. She'll go on to bed, so I forget. I said, I'm going to look it up. And so I go look it up and find, oh, yeah, I remember him. Especially in the afternoon sometime if I'm at home and I watch Lone Ranger and Roy Rogers. They come on in the afternoon. And I'll see those faces on there. I knew them when I was a kid, and they always played crooks, and I know their names, but yet I have to wait till the credits run to catch it. Because I can't remember what that fella's name is, but he used to hate him all the time when I was growing up. Because he was the bad guy. See, back then you knew the bad guy from the good guy because he always wore the black hat. Nowadays, of course, Hopalong Cassidy came along and changed all that. He wore the black hat, you know. But he rode the white horse, so you knew he was the one that was good. But this morning I want us to look at these verses and kind of share a little thought here this morning. I'm trying to, you okay? Is that clock right or is it my imagination?
No, it's wrong.
Okay, I thought because I was in Sunday school this morning, I kept looking up, I got plenty of time. Whoops, I don't have plenty of time. But we do have time. It's the Lord's time. And The group Chicago had a song out years ago, "Does anybody really know what time it is?" And everybody in church has a watch. We could ask what time it is, and I guarantee all of us have a different time. And that's a prophetic question, really. They made a top 10 hit out of it, but really nobody knows what time it is, because only God knows when the calendar started. He only knows when time began. We just have to kind of have an estimate. You know, we say it's 2013, but the Hebrew calendar has 5536 or something like that, because they're counting different from us. So when we come to the Word of God, I'm thankful that we don't have to understand Greek or Hebrew. All we have to do is just trust the Lord, and He'll give us the understanding. And there's so many good things in the Bible that if we'll just look for them, we can't help but find them. And this is one of those good times, even though it's a bad time for David, because he's thinking back to a time when he was a child, and he was thinking about growing up in Bethlehem, and he was thinking about the water that was in the well at Bethlehem. And in verse 13 of 2 Samuel 23, "And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim." Rephaim, that's the valley of the giants. "And David was then in an hold," or in a place of safety, "and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I would do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men." Father, as we come before your throne of grace this morning, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to give him praise and glory. Lord, we ask that you might speak to our hearts this morning, that the Holy Spirit will lead us into the truth of your word this morning, that will give us the encouragement we need today. Bless the people, bless your word, reach the lost, if there be one here not saved. That all that's done here today be for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray, again for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. Now David is in a place we talked about this morning, between a rock and a hard place. And he is in a cave, as it were, and this cave was in the valley of the giants of Rephaim. And he is in a place called Adullam, which means a place of justice for the people. He's in the valley of the giants, but he's in an hold, or a place of safety. You know, you read the life of David, as especially in this particular time of his life. Of course, in the earlier part of his life, he ran from Saul. Now he's running from his enemies, the Philistines, and he's hiding in the caves. And there were many times in the life of David where he was about to be apprehended by the army, especially of Saul. And there was one particular instance that is recorded, not in the Bible, but it's recorded in Hebrew literature. And it may be true, maybe not. But it's one of the books that the rabbis will teach out of. It's like we have the Bible, we have commentaries. And this book is sort of like a devotional commentary. And it tells a story of when David was running from King Saul. And there's a place in the Bible that is very close to this particular instance in the rabbis' books, where David was almost caught, but he was able to disappear from sight. And so the army camped around where that area was and said, "In the morning, we'll find David." And so early the next morning, they got up and they came back to where they had last seen David. And it was a very rugged place, and they were looking through the bush and under the shrubs and even in the holes that were around, the little caves that were around this area. And they came to one, and you know, sometimes you, at home you have these garden spiders, and they'll build these huge webs on your porch and stuff, and there you'll sit right in the middle, big old spider. You think that rascal will tear your head off if you got near him. But they make those beautiful webs, and there was one had built a web over this hole. And they came and they looked at it, and they said, well, no, he's not there, because he would have torn the web. But that's where David was. Because right after he went in that hole, God sent the spider right there and said, build your web. And God took care of David, even through the work of a spider. You see, God is in control of the universe. He's control over all the animals and the insects, and there's nothing God can't do. And so David was hidden from the soldiers by a spider web. So the next time you see a spider web in the house, hey, maybe God's protecting some. I think I'll leave it. That way you can get out of work for a while. But they came there at this place, and the Philistines are nearby, and David is longing for the times when life was more simple. Every once in a while I catch myself doing that. I'll talk about the good old days. You know, we've talked about it before. But he was thinking of the simple thing of a well and the water in that well. I remember when we were growing up, we had a well. It was nice in the summertime. That water was good and cold and sweet. It was just beautiful water. It was the same water in the wintertime, but it was just too cold to go out there to get it. You know, you had to break the ice sometimes and off the bucket and everything. But he was thinking about that well, and I was thinking about, you know, we had a well just like that, and it had good water in it. I thought about the story. This farmer came into town, and he saw a friend of his, and he said, man, he said, I heard y'all had a big fire out your place the other day. And he said, yeah, I said, it caught us by surprise. He said, what happened? He said, well, he said, the bathroom caught on fire. He said, well, I hope it didn't hurt the house. And he said, no, we put it out before it could get that far. Well, of course, you remember the old outhouse. But that sort of reminded me of the time, you know, we had the well here, and we had the four rooms and a path. You all remember those days. And so depending on whether you were thirsty enough or had to go bad enough that you were going to trek out there to that outhouse in the cold winter or the heat of the summer, because you never knew what was crawling around in those places. But David is remembering of that well at the gate in Bethlehem. And he was thinking, oh, if I could just have another glass of that water. Well, we see his three mighty men. David had many mighty men. They did mighty things. And they heard what he had said, and they together went back to Bethlehem, risking their life to bring back that water. It says in verse 16, of course, number 16 is the number of love. Anytime you read a verse 16 in the Bible, it'll have something to do with love. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Isn't that love? You've got to love somebody to put your life on the line to go get them a glass of water. Think about all the people who go get a glass of water for somebody and not have to fight the battle to get there. That tells you something about a person that will be willing to just go get somebody a glass of water. Usually it's, get it yourself. You don't really need it. You know, well, that's just the way we are, especially when football's on. A house can be burning down, but I got to watch, see if we get a first down first. That was me in the old day. I'm getting old now. I don't really care too much. I can sit there and watch it for a little while and wake up at halftime and get something to eat and wake up at the end of the fourth quarter and see who won. But David was just thinking about how that water was, and here these men go, and it says they drew. They took and they brought. That's love. You see, they went to the door or the gate of the city, that's the door of the shepherd. Jesus said, I put my flock into the fold, and what does he do? He guards the door. You see, these men, they love their king, they love David, and they said, we can make him happy. You know, and David here is representing the Lord in a sense that we should be one of God's mighty men, and we should be willing to do things that will make God happy. Even, you know, Jesus said, even if somebody gives someone a cup of cold water in my name, they will not lose what? Their reward. See, God looks at a little cup of water as being equal to cleaning the church. As long as you do it with the right heart attitude. Little as much when God is in it. Just coming up and bringing the cup around to pick up the money. The little fella got a blessing from God because he was doing it for the Lord. And because JoJo didn't want to do it. He missed his blessing. I always tell people, hey, you can give the blessing to somebody else, but go ahead and do it yourself. Because if you do it for the Lord, you're going to get a blessing. You can't help it because God won't let him be outdone. You can't outdo him. And so they went and they risked their lives just to get this water. They brought it today. They drew it, they took it, and they gave it. But David wouldn't drink it. He said, this is the blood of these men. They could have died doing this. And he offered it up to the Lord. You know what that's a picture of? For God so loved the world that he gave. You see, Jesus went to that cross, drew his own blood. He took my sin upon himself. He gave me eternal life through the shedding of his blood. That's what we have a picture of here. David said, I will not drink this water. I will dedicate it to the Lord because look what these men did for me. And we just look at the Lord and say, look what God has done for me. I'm not going to tarnish his blood. I'm not going to drink of the cup of sin like we talked about this morning. I'm going to pour it on the ground and let it be offered up to the Lord. You see, those three mighty men represent God's three mighty men, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, it's always God who's trying to give to us. And what we do with what God gives us determines how our relationship is with him. But I want us to look at this one little thing here. David thought about the well of Bethlehem. Now, I can't speak for David, but I can kind of put myself in his place and think about, well, you know, I'm here in the army. The army's out in the field and we're on maneuvers or whatever, and it's a lull in the evening and I'm looking up at the stars and all of a sudden I'm thinking about home. Here I am in the fields of Kansas, thinking about the hills of Virginia. A lot of difference between Virginia and Kansas. In Virginia, you get the weather forecast by listening to the radio or the TV. In Kansas, you just look across the prairie. You'll see it coming. I remember we were out there and it was getting near evening and somebody said, Sarge, what in the world is that over yonder on the horizon? All you could see was just this black cloud-like. He said, oh, son, don't you worry about that. He said, you'll know soon enough. He said, what do you mean? He said, that's tomorrow's weather. That's a dust storm. Sure enough, it was there the next day. We couldn't even get out of our tents. We got a day off because that was dust coming, and it was about a day away. So out there, they don't have to put the finger in the mouth, see which way the wind's blowing. All they got to do is look across the prairie and see where the shrubs and stuff, the prairie dogs and all that, they see their weather coming. And so you're out there and you're thinking about all the hills of Virginia, the Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah Valley and all this stuff. Out there, if you want to see a mountain, you have to make one. It's as flat as a pancake. and when the wind blows, it blows. When it gets cold, it gets cold. And all of these, I mean, you're laying there and you hear the howling of the coyotes, and you start thinking about all the westerns you ever saw. Them coyotes come after me, you know. And I'm thinking about home and all the different things. I get thinking about Mama. That nice fried chicken and biscuits and the gravy. And here I am with sea rations, trying to imagine that to be biscuits and gravy and chicken. But you're lost in your little world of thinking about what it is back home. And so I'm going to just for a few moments think I'm David here, and I'm going to start thinking about that well in Bethlehem and what it represents. First of all, it's Bethlehem, the house of bread. And I'm a southern boy. I like bread. Used to work for Rainbow Bread at one time, but that didn't work out too good because I ate my profit. It's hard to roll around all day long with a truckload of fresh bread and not sample. But it's the city of David. That's his dwelling place. It's my home, David says. And of course, the city of David is Bethlehem. And so that's my dwelling place. That's the home, homeland. That's where my house is. You see, there's a difference between the house and home. You see, the house is what you put the home in. The home is the family. And the house is where you put your family. That's what that is. It's the home of David. That's where a mother and dad and brothers and sisters and friends are. The home of David. That we think about home, we think about family, and we think about safety. Boy, it's nice to be home. At Bible Baptist Church, we have a church slogan, a place you can come home to. That's always nice to know. You can always go home. Now, I know one of the famous writers wrote, you can never go home. And I understand what he meant. You can never go home and think it's going to be the same as it was when you left. But in the true sense, home is where the heart should be. You should be able to go home when you can't go anywhere else. In fact, you should go home before you go anyplace else. You know, the Bible said that when the evening came, Jesus went to his place. See, that tells us we don't need to be out there in the middle of the night running around in the cities and stuff. It's dangerous there. Home is where it's safe. That's where the family is. That's where your friends are. That's where David's well was. When you think about a well, you think about water. You think about life. Without water, there is no life. They were studying these things that our Mars lander had sent up there, still sending stuff back. Your tax dollars at work. Taking pictures of some place we'll never be able to get to anyway. Why would you want to in second place, and there's no water there for the third place? We can't live without water. And so David's well represents the place where there's flowing water. It's a place where you can live life. Now, when I was a kid, one of our favorite places was the swimming hole. We used to have a swimming hole. Had a grapevine there, and we'd swing out on that grapevine and drop off into that creek there. We'd built up a place where we'd have some water to dive into. And it was cool and relaxing back in those days. See, we didn't have air conditioning, so you sort of had to find the fattest guy in town and stand in the shadow, or you had to go jump in the water somewhere. You had to make your own shade. We were pretty good at that, but David's well represents the waters of life, the Word of God. You know, Jesus one time, him and the disciples came to this place, and it was near lunchtime, and they were hungry, and Jesus said, "Fellas, why don't y'all go down to town there and get us some pizza or something, bring them back up here, and we'll have our lunch." Because he was tired. The Bible said he was tired, he was thirsty, he was weary, and he sat down by Jacob's well. And yet here comes this harlot woman up there, and he begins to talk to her and tells her all about himself, and she gets saved, runs down to the town and tells all the people to come and see and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. And when his disciples got back, instead of a distraught and hungry Messiah, they saw this vibrant Lord who was preaching to all these people. Why do you think that was? Because he ate the Word of God. You know, you're hungry and you're tired, you're thirsty. Read the Word of God. God will take care of your thirst and your hunger. I was at work one day, and I was running a machine, a splicing machine. I had a fellow on the other end who was tailing it and stacking it up when I was running through. And he had to leave at 3:30. Well, some of the people left at 3:30. We had to work till 7:30, so I had 4 more hours to go, and I was already tired. In fact, when he left, I wish I could have went with him. I was even thinking to myself, boy, I should have had a toothache or something today and had a dentist appointment. That's how bad it was. I'd be willing to go to the dentist to get out of here. But they sent this fellow up from downstairs to tail the machine for me. Man, I was just barely dragging. I've been working hard all week, and this was Friday, and we've been working 12 hours every day. And it's kind of hard in the old factory, standing there 12 hours a day feeding a splicing machine. But he came up, and after a few minutes, he said, "You're the preacher, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." And he asked me a question. And you know, when it got 7:30, I was still feeding that splicing machine and talking to him. I didn't even realize it was time to go home. Yet, 4 hours earlier, I was ready to go home. I was ready to go to the dentist's office just to get out of there. But yet, when this fella came up and asked me one question, I don't know how many we answered, but all of a sudden I started talking about the Lord, and I forgot about my hunger, my thirst, my tiredness. I almost forgot to go home. And I said, "I know what that means, Lord. I understand exactly where you were when those disciples came. You were physically tired. You were physically worn out. You were hungry and thirsty, but yet the Word of God rejuvenated. It gave you that extra rush of adrenaline, so to speak, and was able to continue on with the discussion." That's because David's well gives us refreshing water and renewed life. What was at Bethlehem? There was an inn there. Might have been a Holiday Inn or Holiday Express. Could have been any number of things. But there was one night when it was completely full to the brim, and there was a lady there who was expecting a child, and there was no room for her there. You see, that inn was crowded. It was busy. Just like the world. That's what that world was around that inn. Had no room for a little baby that was going to be born. But yet, in Bethlehem was a stable. And the lady went to the stable, a little simple place. Most of us here today are just simple folk. Nothing special about any of us. But you see, that's what God likes. He takes the simple things of this world and confounds the wise men. You see, we're available. If you're something spectacular, everybody's going to want a piece of you. You're not going to be available. But us old simple folk, hey, we're always available. God can use us any old time, any old place. And there was a manger in that stable. Not very pretty. Probably had slobbers on it and everything else where the animals had been feeding out of it. See, when you're a kid and you're saying away in a manger, you don't know what a manger is. They don't tell you it's a feeding trough where the pigs and stuff came and eat. See, when I was a kid, we raised some pigs. And we used to take the scraps and stuff and slop those pigs. We had a trough out there. Now, if you thought about the manger and that old place where them pigs came and wallowed in the stuff, it wouldn't be so pretty, would it? See, that old manger, it was used. But it was fruitful. You see, that's where I was living my life, in the manger, in the pig's trough of the world. But one day Jesus found me, and that pig trough became fruitful and gave me the Christian life. You see, when we look at this well of David, it's not only a place where you could come and get some water. It was the place where everybody came. You see, that water, that well was right there at the gate. And when you came into the city of Bethlehem, that was the first thing you saw, was the water in that well. And they'd been traveling over desert and everything else, and you were thirsty. Back in the 50s, when you'd get out in the car and you'd go from place to place, you had to go a pretty good ways to find a place. But now you got, and then all of a sudden 7-Eleven started dropping in all over the place, and then all these other marts and mini marts and everything, and next thing you knew, you couldn't go anywhere without running into one. I remember we went to McDonald's, you had to go all the way to Greensboro, 50 miles to go to McDonald's. Had to go to Madison to get a Fuzzy's barbecue. Didn't have nothing in our town like that. We just had a stoplight. It didn't work half the time. And if it did, nobody was driving up there anyway to use it. We had a couple of gas stations and stuff like that. But nothing like what we have today. But you see, David didn't want the things of today. He was thinking about that well back home. You see, that well pictures the Word of God, the way of God, the life of God. The place where we need to get our drink from is this well right here. You see, it's got 66 books in it. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. And they all go together, just like the water in that well. You can go from one side of that well to the other, but you're going to bring out the same water. So you can go to any place in this well right here and come up with the same water, that Word of God. We need to be like David. We need to desire to drink from that well of Bethlehem. Because when you drink the Word of God, you're drinking the Word of life. You'll be rejuvenated, you'll be encouraged, you'll be strengthened. And other than that, you'll be able to share it with other people. You know what the greatest sin in the desert is? It's the same great sin that we have in this world today. The greatest sin in the desert is to know where there's water and not tell anybody. See, we were carrying around a well of living water. And we need to be telling other people. You know, when you share the Word of God, you share Jesus. And when you share Jesus, things happen. That's why I still, my heart's dancing over the fact that Julia said, tell the people my mom got saved. Wouldn't it be nice if I could come in here and next week and say, guess what? One of my relatives got saved. We've been praying for years. It'd be great if some of you would say the same thing. What did Buddy always say? Pray for my brother. Why? Because he's lost. He needs to drink from this old well. But since he won't drink, we need to take him the water of this well to him. The old preacher told me one time, he said, son, imagine the old preacher calling me son, but I was younger than him. He said, son, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But if you add a little salt, it'll make him thirsty and he will drink. And that's all we need to do is take the Word of God, and if people don't want to hear it, just give them a little salt. Because we're to be what? Salt and light. And we got this old well here that we carry around. It's full of water. And people are thirsty, looking for something they don't know what. But you just offer them a drink from this Word of God here. And watch what happens. You'll be just like Julius, praising the Lord, Mama got saved. I can just hear my mom, when Wanda and I got saved, she was in heaven. I can just hear her now, my son got saved. She's been praying for me for years. I just made her life miserable. I was fine until she mentioned Jesus. That was like waving a red flag in front of a bull. I didn't want to hear the name, didn't care for the name. I thought I knew all I needed to know. But yet one day she rejoiced in heaven because we got saved. And I know that Julius is praising the Lord right now because somebody took a drink from this well. David's well. The house of David. Think about the house and the home. We got a heavenly home one day because we came to the well of David. Hey, we're fine down here, but just think what it's going to be like when we get there. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Father, take your word this morning and just encourage us and strengthen us with it. Help us to take a drink from your well every day. But not only us taking a drink, help us, Lord, to share the water with others. Help us to be a blessing to someone today, tonight, tomorrow. Because when we are a blessing to someone else, we are a blessing to you. Lord, give us that strength we need. Give us that encouragement. Bless those who are here this morning. Lord, if there be one person here that's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, we pray that today they'll take that drink from the well of David and come to know the satisfaction of the Word of God. Bless us and keep us. Let all things be done for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God bless America. Amen.
Bill? Let's sing a verse of 384, Where He Leads. Page 384. Let's everybody stand. Page 384, just one verse. Thursday night at 7. Yeah, that's my third mistake. I've lost track.